Well, it's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord today. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Luke chapter 1. Well, there are times, moments, occasions of visitation where the Lord comes to people, reaches out to people in ways that they understand. For every person, an event of visitation. Luke 19:41, you did not know the time of your visitation. These times, these moments, these cases, these events where the Lord reaches out to people, reaches out to people in ways they understand, that His will would be accomplished through their lives and living, that His purposes would be fulfilled, that His perfect plan would unfold, and for others, that they might be drawn to Jesus, that they might come to Jesus, that they might encounter Jesus, and that they would acknowledge who He is. The time had come for the arrival of the Messiah. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Since Genesis chapter 3, heaven, creation, and the saints of God have waited and have pined for the coming of the Messiah. The promise, the seed, the child, the Christ, the one who would crush the serpent's head, the one who would usher in salvation, the one who would break the power of the curse, the one who would lift humanity out of darkness, the one who would transfer sons and daughters into the kingdom of light. The long-awaited arrival of the Son of God, the Holy Child, Jesus. What an event of visitation for Mary. Just a young woman. She was troubled. She wondered at the visitation, "How can this be?" And yet the visitation was clear. And the visitation was comprehensible. These moments of visitation were so real, there was only one response fitting. Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Don't you love the song Mary began to sing? Verses 46 to 55, "My soul magnifies," that is, declares the greatness of the Lord. "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has lifted the hungry. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." This visitation of the Lord. And the Lord had his maidservant, Mary, the handmaid of the Lord. Mary was a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. You know this man was going to need his event of visitation. We pick up the text, Matthew 1, beginning at verse 18, "After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus." A humble man. A good man. A just man, the Bible records. A God. Godly, God-fearing man. A man surrendered to the call and the command of the Lord. It didn't matter what people might think or say, because this visitation was clear. The visitation was real. The visitation was comprehensible. These moments of visitation were so real, there was only one response fitting. According to the word of the Lord, the Lord had his man. Luke chapter 2. We pick it up at verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, a feed trough, because there was no room for them in the inn. Jesus, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, God in flesh among us, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Word made flesh, a child laying in a manger, a humble appearance, meek and mild. Bethlehem, the house of bread, and in a feed trough, the bread of life. I love the words of D.L. Moody. He said, the Son of God passed by the mansions and went down in a manger that he might sympathize with the lowly. The arrival of the Messiah, the Christ child, the Savior of the world, the hope of all hearts. Luke 2, verse 8, we pick it up there. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, not willing that any should perish. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. May it be a sign to many this Christmas. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go. Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. An angel sent to shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord stands before them. The glory of the Lord shines around them. The angel speaks to them. The angel tells them what has happened, what has taken place, this moment of visitation for these shepherds. And suddenly, there were with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Why send an angel to shepherds? Why have an angel speak to these shepherds? Why this manner of visitation? Because the shepherds believed in angels. And this visitation was enough to get these shepherds moving. Everything the angel told them was true. Good tidings of great joy, a Savior born for them. In the city of David, Christ, the Lord, And these shepherds weren't about to miss their day of visitation, for the event in the field that night was only the opening act. The text, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste. So beautiful how he comes to people in ways they understand. Moments of visitation, an event of visitation. In the same chapter, we read of an incredible moment for a holy saint, a just and devout man waiting for the Messiah. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 35, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple." Amen. "And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before your face, before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" What an event of visitation for this man, for Simeon. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him at an earlier time of visitation that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And church, the word of the Lord never fails. Receiving Jesus as a child, a baby, destined for the rise, yet the fall of many. A sign. Eyes beholding in the child Jesus the Lord's salvation, which he prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the lost and the glory of his people. What a wonder that God sent his son Jesus. And how the events play out. How the event plays out. Well, back to the Nativity, Matthew chapter 2. We pick it up at verse 1. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Bowing and worshiping before the Christ child. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. A star in the east, the star which they had seen in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Why a star? Why this traveling star in the sky? Why this guiding light? Because the wise men studied the stars. Gazing into the sky that night, studying the starlit sky, and somehow they knew it was his star, Jesus' star that night. Their very words, "We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when they spoke to Herod, "Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Do you know the scripture, Micah 5:2? "But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." Numbers 24:16 and 17, the utterance of him who hears the words of God and has the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel." How these events unfold in these moments of visitation. They studied the stars in that holy night. Jesus' star appeared in the sky, a star in the east, a visitation that would lead them to the visitation. They packed their things for the journey, determined to follow the star to the place, to the holy scene, the resting place of the ruler. J.C. Ryle said, "The conduct of the wise men is a splendid example of spiritual diligence. What trouble it must have cost them to travel from their homes to the place where Jesus was born. How many weary miles they must have journeyed. What could they bring? Traveling on this journey to see the newborn king, what could they bring? They needed gifts fit for the ruler who would shepherd God's people, Israel. The Bible says they came before him, entering in that lowly manger, and they opened their treasures before him. Fitting for us all. They presented gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, deity, and divine nature. Frankincense, worship, adoration, prayer. Myrrh, fragrant sufferings. Myrrh was bitter to the taste, but beautifully fragrant. Fitting gifts for this child. The king at rest in the hay. Charles Spurgeon said, when wise men seek our king, they are wise indeed. An angel for shepherds, a star for wise men. Continue with the words of Charles Spurgeon. He was born of lowly parents, laid in a manger and wrapped in infant clothes. But the principalities and powers in the heavenly places are in motion. First, an angel descends to proclaim the advent of the newborn king. But the activity was not confined to the spirits above. For in the heavens above the earth, something began to stir. A star is sent on behalf of all the stars, as if it were the envoy of all worlds to represent them before their king. The star was put into commission to await the Lord, to be his herald to men far away, and to be God's usher, to conduct these wise men into Christ's presence. Let's remember this season as Christmas, what Christmas is really all about. Jesus, the birth of our Lord and Savior, the hope of all hearts. Let's share of these events of visitation, how the events unfolded, and what beautiful words. Though creation may be a majestic organ of praise, it cannot reach the compass of the golden canticle incarnation. There is more in that than in creation, more melody in Jesus in the manger than there is in worlds on worlds rolling in grandeur round the throne of the Most High. Infinite. Think about it. Infinite and an infant. Eternal and yet born of a woman. Almighty and yet hanging on a woman's breast. Supporting a universe and yet needing to be carried in a mother's arms. King of angels and yet the reputed son of Joseph. Heir of all things. And yet the carpenter's despised son. Oh, the wonder of Christmas. Well, Jesus grew. He grew in stature and in favor with God and man. And if you've read the New Testament, so many moments of visitation for so many. These events, these moments of visitation. Can I share some with you today? The king, at 12 years of age, about his father's business there in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. A visitation to fishermen. Remember when he called them? He used familiar terminology. They could understand. It was comprehensible. A moment of visitation at a wedding, water turned into wine at the wedding in Canaan. The moment when an official's son was healed at Capernaum in Galilee. An evil spirit driven out of a man in Capernaum. Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law sick with fever. The healing of many sick and oppressed that evening. The miraculous catch of fish on the lake. The cleansing of a man with leprosy, a centurion's paralyzed servant healed, a paralytic let down from the roof and healed, a man's withered hand healed, a widow's son rises from the dead, a storm on the sea calmed, demons cast into a herd of pigs, the healing of a woman who pressed through the crowd. Jesus raises Jairus' daughter back to life. Jesus heals two blind men. Jesus heals a man who was unable to speak. Jesus heals the invalid at the pool of Bethesda. The feeding of the 5,000 plus women and children. Jesus walks on water. The child, the infant, the infinite, yet the infant. The child, the Christ. He heals the sick as they touch his garment. heals a Gentile woman's demon-possessed daughter, heals a deaf and dumb man, feeds 4,000 plus women and children, heals a blind man at Bethsaida, heals a man born blind, heals a boy with an unclean spirit, temple tax in a fish's mouth. He heals a blind, mute demoniac. He heals a woman crippled for 18 years. He heals a man with dropsy. Cleanses 10 lepers on the way to Jerusalem. Raises Lazarus from the dead. Restores sight to Bartimaeus. Withers the fig tree. Heals a servant's severed ear while being arrested. The second miraculous catch of fish at the Sea of Tiberias. This is Jesus. And these moments of visitation, John 21, 25, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Oh, man. This is Jesus, who has despised the day of small beginnings. There in a manger. They rest on the hay in a feeding trough. The bread of life. Well, let's look at one particular event of visitation, John chapter 4. Many of us are familiar with this account in Scripture. He, Jesus, came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband. Call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He. Jesus meets her where she is, in the midst of routine, and speaks to her in such a way as to lead her step by step to belief and full faith. Right here, this moment of visitation, this event of visitation for this woman, one familiar with well and water. You see, Jesus takes her from man, Jew, to prophet, to Messiah, to Savior of the world. This beautiful transition. And listen to verses 39 to 42. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to Him, they urged Him to stay with them. And He stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of His own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard Him. And we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." You know, church, sometimes it's a process. Sometimes it's a process. For not everyone is at the same place with the same understanding, with the same experience, and so on. There might be someone in the church today concerning Jesus. For you, He's a man. Just a man. For some, and I know many, Jesus is just a prophet. Jesus has a beautiful way. If people will open up, if people will engage, if people will pray, if people will talk to Him, if people will get into the Word of leading them from man to prophet, from prophet to Messiah, from Messiah to Savior of the world. Perhaps we're about our Father's business. We're running with the Great Commission. We're talking to people, telling them about Jesus. And, you know, depending on who you talk to, Jesus is a man. Nothing more than a man. You talk to others, they have some form of religion, even though it's wayward, it's not godly. Jesus is a prophet. Let's not be frustrated when we, in one moment, in one conversation, you know, we're not Jesus. Jesus can move, but let's not be frustrated and discouraged that they don't go immediately from man to Savior of the world, from man to Messiah. Let's trust in the process. Let's spend time with people. Let's try and lead them. Let's show them. Encourage them to sit and talk to Jesus, to open up, to cry out, "If you're real, Jesus, speak with me." Jesus will come to them. A moment of visitation, just like this woman at the well. And spoke to her in ways that she could understand. She knew about well and water. Jesus has a beautiful way of meeting people where they're at. And He will take them from man to prophet to Messiah to Savior of their world. This is Jesus. You know, there was a time when the vast majority of those dwelling in a certain country missed their time of visitation. Well, I guess they didn't miss it. They just responded with unbelief. Matthew chapter 13, beginning of verse 54. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works?" I mean, there should have been some kind of altar call. But it changes so quickly. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended. They were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet." Was he trying to take them? Lead them on the journey from man to prophet, Messiah to Savior of the world? Look what they said. Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's? They were astonished at one point. Is not his mother called Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? His sisters are all with us. Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house." Now, he did not do many mighty works there. Not because he wasn't able. Because of their unbelief. Too familiar with the child Jesus. Too familiar with the boy Jesus, the young man Jesus. The hometown crowd. Well, let's have the worship team return today. You know, my prayer is that visitation is never met with hesitation. And if so, the hesitation gives way to belief and action before the moment slips away. And may the Lord use us. What an honor it is to be used of the Lord in the process. The men and women, boys and girls, young and old, can be taken from man to prophet, to Messiah, to Savior of the world. May the Lord use us, 1 Peter 2, verses 9 to 12, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Amazing verses. The day of visitation, the day God visits them, the time, the moment, the occasion of visitation when the Lord comes to them, reaches out to them in ways they understand. Just as he sent an angel to shepherds and a star to wise men. You know, I believe, and for those who will receive it today, I believe the Lord wants to use many in this room during this season to meet people where they're at. A visitation they understand, and that leading from man to prophet, from prophet to Messiah, from Messiah to Savior, not only of the world, but Savior of their world. The hope of all hearts. And like angels and stars, I know the Lord still uses means that are nothing short of miraculous. I share the words of Billy Graham. God did not send his heavenly angelic hordes to accomplish his majestic purpose, but he sent a tiny, tender, helpless babe in the person of his son. That baby who was born to Mary was more than just another man. He was God in human flesh. He came into the world for one reason: to make it possible for our sins to be forgiven so we could become part of God's family forever. This Christmas season, when the world seems to be in turmoil, wars are breaking out in different places, crime is rampant, many things are happening that are great sins in the sight of God. But in that crib is the person who would grow up to save us. And he did. Don't leave Jesus in the manger. Don't remember him only at Christmas. Instead, learn to walk with him every day as you pray and read his word and ask him to help you. Let's stand in the house of the Lord. Oh, Lord, we love you. We love you, Jesus. Lord, even now, we're in your house. We've come today to worship. Open up our treasures to you. Open our hearts to you, our lives to you. How beautiful you are, God. Oh, the wonder. Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful name. Nothing. What a beautiful name. Well, let's lift it up today.